This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden!
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
There is no racial bigotry. Here you are all equally worthy.
All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn.
Welcome!
Deal and then killing himself and scriptability. That's where you start to get mental. Because things are like, that's where you, the proverbial shit's getting real.
Right.
That's kind of as I started to go, what the fuck is happening? So, anyway, we are back in the Locker Room Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
And we still have Scott with us. Thank you all for being here, Piso.
Glad to be here.
That's as good of a place as any to start. I started looking at all of this stuff, right? Started looking at all of this quote unquote coincidence or not coincidence as the case may be. And
it's addicting. Once you find one nugget and then you find the next one and then you find the next one, you're hooked because
right.
You're starting to see a truth that you we're not aware of.
Right. So for me, the way it works is I go down a link clicking, and I'm like that anyway, you know, whether it's Wikipedia or, you know, I click links and I get to the next one. And I started off, you know, asking, how do I explain to my kids why the sky is blue? And I end up on a site that's explaining the CIA's ties to dyeing water blue. Oh, who knows? So that's always the way I've been. It's all, and hell, my job now is research. So it's in my nature to do it.
I've always been anti-authority my entire life. And I've always had it in, you know, if you tell me I can't do something, fuck, watch me, cause I'm going to do it.
Well, that's where you and Matt are very much alike, because I've always said the quickest way to get Matt to do something is to tell him he can't. And if you say you can't do that, you will immediately be met with the phrase, oh yeah, watch this.
Yep.
Yeah. Or what?
Yeah. Or what? That's you. I can't do that.
Or what? What are you going to do?
Or what?
Yeah.
I don't even like the light on my dryer that tells me to clean out the lint trap. I'm like, dryer, you work for me.
You know, when I'm going down my little rabbit holes or up the rabbit holes, I'm going to start saying going up the rabbit hole now. I think we need to turn that around.
Spiraling up.
When I start, you know, my time of spiraling up, I find it like gratifying and horrifying all the same time.
Yeah.
Because you start piecing things together and you know, picking up these breadcrumbs and following them, and it's like this sense of like, yeah, I'm getting somewhere, but it's like, you look around and I'm like, ooh, look where I am. Because last episode we talked about the Epstein thing on Netflix. If you watch that not knowing anything about Epstein, I'm going to tell you right now, they really played softball with that.
And the most frustrating part of that show is that how can Netflix make an entire almost accurate, pretty damn good documentary, and there aren't any arrests.
Yeah,
but here, I mean, we had Epstein, but there's nobody else, and we'll get to that on why that is. But that's that. If you can understand that, if you can understand that there's a documentary and there's not one arrest, welcome to the frustration the QAnon army feels.
Yep.
Yeah. So the documentary itself was produced by James Patterson. If you don't know who James Patterson is, he wrote the Alex Cross novels. I think Tyler Perry tried to do a movie as Alex Cross. Morgan Freeman did two movies as Alex Cross. He's this psychologist, child psychologist and police officer or something. Anyway, he wrote Along Came a Spider, Kiss the Girls. They were made into movies. He's a good author, but he also, he happens to be, a philanthropist, and he does a lot of, he uses his money for a lot of good, things. And he happened to have been Jeffrey Epstein's neighbor in West Palm Beach. And he happens to have seen the comings and goings personally. And then he happens to have said, okay, screw this. If this douche isn't going to be held to answer. He's not going to be held accountable. He's not going to be held, you know, out for his crimes. Then I'm going to at least spend a bunch of money and make a documentary that exposes him. But I find it interesting because I think what you were saying is I'm watching it. I had already known a lot of stuff about Epstein from doing research.
And I learned some things watching it too, but
yeah. You do learn some things that were just like, you know, interesting, you know, early on stuff. And like, I didn't know about him, bilking the owner of the department store, the Limited, you know,
right.
I didn't know he bilked the owner of that department store chain and Victoria's Secret and all these other companies out of billions of dollars. Right. Like stole from him to the where the guy like gives speeches now. And he's like, how did I not see that coming? You know, the guy's Epstein's a crook, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was interesting that I learned. But the sex with kids and the creepy massage room and the manipulation. I mean, you're a cop. You work kiddie cases. You hate them, but you have to work them because you want to put these sick fucks in jail. So you get, you know, you get used to the idea that that happens. So I watched it with my mother because she's, you know, 71 and she's not aware of all this stuff. And she was horrified.
I love your mom.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. She was horrified.
He's my buddy.
Horrified. Mm-hmm. Right? And she's going, she has not finished it yet. We have not gone through the last episode because she needs like at least a week of decompression and then be mentally ready for the next episode because it's so dark and so disturbing. And so I think to myself, okay, I get it. Like, that documentary is a four-course, bite-size meal that, while I devoured it in one sitting because I'm all about that subject matter, the average person like my sweet sainted mother, she watches it and looks at me and is like, is this true? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it is. And she's like, how? And I'm like, well, that's why that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's not the what, because I know the what. It's the how. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How did he get away with it? How did
my wife refuse to watch it? If you know, and I think that a lot of people are like that too. They just, it's like, do you want to watch a movie watching people stab each other in the face? No, I don't want to watch that because I don't want to think that people could stab each other in the face.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, as an example,
yeah. So I watched the documentary and I showed it to people. And then, you know, my co-host, John, who, you know, is on vacation, God bless him. That's why, you know, he's not here. He and I have talked about it. And then in our discussions, both before and after podcast sessions, his wife will be around and she'll hear stuff and she'll go, wait a minute, what? And we'll explain stuff to her. And it's come to a point where she's like, what? Like, average per- now my wife on the other hand my wife's a spitfire she's
your wife sends me stuff
if I don't hold my wife back, she will get in the car and drive out to people's houses and pull them out of their houses and beat them in their front yard for doing this shit, because she's a tough gal and she has zero tolerance for this for many personal reasons. But now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of it. The theories, the different ideas. For example, who is Q? What is the end game? What's the next step? What are we going to see next? So let's start with the easiest thing, which is we ended the last episode talking about General Flynn. General Flynn gives this oath, then says the where we go one, we go all shit. And I'm going, who is he swearing in? And what are we swearing in for? And why did he use the Q phrase at the end, right? And then you told me about the numbers thing on the hands. I didn't even know about that. And to be honest, those kinds of observations, the holding up the fingers and sending subliminal or coded messages, like I tend to dismiss that stuff as, that's a little too far. But then I have to remember that there have been instances of soldiers delivering coded messages by blinking Morse code while being held captive and being put on state-sponsored television to denounce the United States, and they're able to blink out coded messages in Morse code on camera. while they're reading what they're supposed to be reading. So it's not like we don't train people to put out coded messages that are hidden inside of a regular message.
How difficult is it to get those messages out to civilians who don't speak Morse code, you know?
Well, right. You can't. Most people, unless you're a ham radio operator or someone in the Navy.
So this is a whole new strategy for people that try to get the coded messages out where, you know, like I said, some QAnon, you know, did find the holding the numbers up. But that's so in your face that it's not, you have to recognize that as a message.
Right. So now we've got Flynn being held up as possibly Q.
And okay, your contention who was Flynn?
Okay,
so who is Flynn? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Flynn was a part of Trump's transition team. He was going to be like the ambassador to the world. He started a conversation with Ukraine. And in digging into
our allies,
right? Well, okay. So I know that there's a certain format that we are trying to achieve, but I'm not going to be good with that. So please stop me if I am giving away, you know, too much, or if I'm reaching that point where I'm having people not think for themselves. So okay. I'm gonna trust you on that one. Okay. So he started digging into Ukraine, and what he found was that there was a certain vice president who was extorting Ukraine, and he was supposed to give a relief bill or a package of $2 billion to Ukraine from the United States. His son was then turned around. This is how this works, is these officials give this sum of money to these countries if that country will now make deposits towards their charities or towards their organizations. This is why Hillary Clinton has got, you know, how she got caught up with Ukraine. So
yeah, Ukraine, the Clinton Foundation and all this. Yeah.
And the Uranium One scandal with, you know, Clinton selling our enriched plutonium to Russia to make nuclear bombs.
Reactors.
Yes. So
reactors.
What was happening was General Flynn was uncovering all of this. He was getting all this information. He was connecting the dots. He's smart enough and he's a decent enough man to be able to do this, put it all together and present it. And it might be the reason why Trump picked him to be in this position, because he knows, Flynn knows the world players.
Is something thumping on your end?
No.
Oh, I heard a thump. Anyway, go ahead. It's gone.
So that's thumping.
That's thumping. So Flynn was uncovering, because Biden admits this. There's video of Biden admitting that he withheld aid. Humanitarian aid.
Literally laughing as he said it.
And he's, of course I withheld it. I withheld it until they did what I want.
He was withholding that aid because Ukraine had a national lawyer that was looking into the fact that...
A company, right? What was the company? Oh, shit. I'm going to look it up. Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Okay, yeah. So he was looking into the fact that Joe Biden's son... was hired by this company, and he was making to the tune of millions of dollars
with no experience behind that.
Yeah, zero experience.
Burisma.
Burisma.
Ted Cruz has been all about, like, if you follow any politician, this is one of the things that Ted Cruz has been talking about, is look into Burisma. That's not a secret. So as far as people saying, I just want to clarify, as far as people saying, no, Joe Biden, you know, withholding aid is, no, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory at all. It literally happened. Yeah. His son was part of a company that was being investigated, and he withheld aid. Go ahead.
And so in order for Biden to release the aid to Ukraine, he had a demand. That demand was fire the lawyer that is looking into
Prosecutor, right? Yeah.
Prosecutor, yeah.
Yeah.
Fire the prosecutor that's looking into it.
Fire that prosecutor. And the new president of Ukraine said, you know, no, we're not going to do it. And Biden said, fine, well, then you're not getting the money. And he goes, you can't do that. only Barack Obama could do that. And Joe Biden's like, really? Why don't you go ahead and call him then? Here's the deal. You either fire this prosecutor in 6 hours or you don't get the money. And his words, and son of a bitch, guess what happened? Right. And the entire room that he's talking to laughs. And yep. So, you know, again, that is not a conspiracy. That is the facts of what happened. So
no, wait, check Glenn, this out. You want to talk about some fucked up shit about this?
I love fucked up shit.
I just looked up Burisma for the name because I said, hey, I'm going to look it up. I just looked it up. And it brings up a little blurb about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and it talks about Burisma was investigated in a now debunked conspiracy theory about Hunter Biden's dealings with and Joe Biden's dealings with the Ukrainian government. And I'm like, debunked my ass. He's on video talking about it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And that seems to be that is what's happening right now.
So this is kind of the funny censorship. Thing, because last episode you talked about your beginnings of perking your ears up was somebody telling you one thing when you clearly saw it was something else. You're like, I saw it with my own eyes. And people say, well, what are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?
Yeah. And the dangerous thing about that is the people that didn't see that video or didn't know about it and are reading that little blurb for the first time. Oh, well, that's the facts they're going to walk away with.
That's
okay, well, my, you know, Google said, or debunked. CNN said, or Fox said, or whoever said, you know, the talking heads in the magic box that we hang on the wall, whatever they say, that's just fact.
Yeah. Now. All right.
This and another pertinent Trump news story was when he went to North Korea, and he was doing everything he could to bring tensions down and bring peace to the world, which is something he said he was going to do. And the deep state wanted nothing to do with that because where do they make most of their money? They make most of their money in foreign useless wars.
Right.
And so when Trump went to North Korea, you know, he, of course, had North Korea and South Korea, the dictator and the president, like shake each other's hands, and they crossed the demilitarized zone. And it was like the first time that had happened in 20 years. And Trump was there to make it happen.
Yeah, he did. He stepped over.
He did it. And I don't know if you know, he had produced like this whole movie thing. You know, he knew that Kim Jong-un or Il, who's the son?
Un.
Anyhow, the one,
yeah.
Un, knew that he loves movies and he loves to be, you know, feel important. And so Trump had like this 8-minute video of how wonderful the two countries are going to work together and all of this. And he sent it to him. And that was what Kim Jong-un went, okay, Trump just extended the most awesome olive branch, and I'll go and talk to him. But what had happened, another like no way moment for me was when they were having lunch, CNN and MSNBC decided to point out that the Koreans themselves would not be eating so lavishly. And how dare Trump eat steak when the rest of North Korea is starving? And I went,
it's a state dinner,
but they didn't talk about any of the positives of what was happening and how this was affecting the worldwide stage.
Right.
The professional billion-dollar backed news organization had to throw in the fact that they thought it was disgusting that he was eating food that North Koreans wouldn't be able to afford.
You know why?
Orange man bad.
Orange man bad.
Orange man bad.
Orange man bad.
So, now we get to Flynn. So Flynn's investigating all this stuff. Flynn has contacts with the Ukrainian government during the transition, right? Trump's already been elected at this point, I believe.
It was during the transition.
Yeah. And so somehow Flynn gets accused of having inappropriate contact with Ukrainians without proper authority or authorization, and basically gets told that he lied about it, about having these inappropriate conversations to the FBI when the FBI started doing the Russia probe. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, he had every right to have any top secret conversation.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's what he was accused of.
Because he was in that position. Right.
He was.
So they accused him of that.
And it's come to find out he had every right to do what he did.
he had every right to do what he did. They said, so that's why they took him down. Now, when they, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but from my best understanding, what they did was the FBI, he was vacationing on some island in the Caribbean with his family. And the FBI said, hey, we want to ask you some questions. And literally while Flynn was enjoying, you know, adult beverages, and either they flew to him or he flew back and said, don't worry, you don't need your lawyer. This is unofficial. And the players, you know, Strzok and Page and Clapper and all these guys that you're hearing, the head of the CIA and these people that were very deep in the FBI, James Comey, under his direction, they brought Flynn in and had a conversation with him. And before the conversation was, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to like get him to lie, or are we trying to find the bottom of it? And the FBI decided, no, if we get him to lie, then we can get him for perjury, shut him up, do all, you know. So what they did was they went in with a strategy and they asked him a question, and it didn't even pertain to anything, but the way that he answered it, they were able to determine that he answered it a different way earlier. So it was an unofficial investigation. He didn't have his lawyers with him, and he answered something that was completely irrelevant in the wrong way. And so that's when they put him up. That's when they arrested him and put him on, you know, they're putting, you know, all this on him. He says,
but this is now all way after, like Trump's in office. He's the national security advisor. This is not during the transition. It's just,
it's been going on for years.
Yeah. Right.
This has been going on for years, but they told Flynn, you're going to jail or we're going to take your son down. And Flynn, being who I think is the awesome guy that he is, said, nope, take me out. Don't touch my son. And so that's where we are right now.
Why do we think that Flynn, they said they were going to take his son down? What was the?
Well, that way he would take.
No. I mean, where? What's the documentation? Okay, so that's kind of one of those prevailing theories, is that one of the ways they got Flynn to roll over and play dead instead of fighting was Flynn's son is also an up and coming, and they threatened to take him down.
What would you do if after your son, you know? So he you know, took the fall.
Okay.
But where we're at right now is he's not taking the fall anymore. He's fighting back. And so right now, they're trying to open the case, they're trying to rehear everything, but there is a Obama appointed judge who will not let the case go forward. And he's not using any facts or anything like that right now. And so, you know, again, this isn't a conspiracy theory. You can easily look this information up. And so that's where we are right now. And so through all this process, there is a gag order that's on Flynn, and he can't say anything. Nobody can talk about any of this. But I think that we are days, maybe weeks away from him being fully exonerated. And once he's fully exonerated, then, you know, I tell everybody he's the faucet. As soon as he can start talking, the faucet's going to drip, and then all of a sudden everything is going to come out.
Right, because he's been a central figure. He's been a linchpin. And at one point, he was talked about as being Q. And one of the things, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about earlier, Michael Flynn coining the term cyber soldiers, right?
Digital soldiers.
Digital soldiers. Thank you. See, I cannot get that one to stick. But something interesting that Q has done kind of since the beginning, in some of his drops, he has used that exact phrase, has he not? Is referring to the people that follow digital
soldiers. Mm-hmm.
So that was one of those pieces of evidence where people say, okay, Michael Flynn talks about how we need digital soldiers, and now you've got this anonymous Q person talking about the people that follow him and his drops are his digital soldiers. Then you have Michael Flynn administering this oath and saying the same exact thing, and then holding up, you know, like you said, these fingers, and people go, oh, that adds up to the letter Q. So that's kind of where that theory all comes from, is it not?
Yeah. Shit. I'm gonna have to pause because I was gonna go somewhere, and I totally. That's happening more and more to me lately.
They're getting it in your water.
Yeah, if you can write down this time.
No, it's okay. So we're going to go to the next part, which is.
Well, I was gonna solidify the cue thing, and then we can go to the next part. But I forgot how I was going to do that.
Yeah, but here's the problem: it's on video, and I don't want to edit that out. It's really hard to edit the video with the audio.
Is it? So is this all still going? Then, damn it, I look stupid.
I'll do my best.
Okay, so the general Flynn thing. Q, what was Q?
He called them digital soldiers.
He was an entity that was created by John F. Kennedy to take down the deep state that he was saying existed back then.
Okay, so now let's get to theory number two, because this is part of theory number two to me. You're saying that there's a theory out there that John F. Kennedy created something called Q way back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
So he created Q, and he was going to launch a full...
What was Q? Like, how do people know that JFK created something called Q? Because the listeners are not going to understand. You have done all the research. You understand what he created. What exactly did he create?
So, again, the majority of this, it's researchable. What is Q's name that he created back then? I don't know. That's why
Okay. So you're not saying that JFK created something back then that he called Q. You're saying that one of the theories is
he called it Q. Back then he called it Q, but it wasn't a thing. Like it wasn't, the news back then didn't talk about it. Was a secret. It was a secret thing that he started, but that was a designation that he gave this entity that was going to be in the background.
Which, let's face it, it doesn't have to be one person,
right? No, but they were doing back then what Trump is doing now, and that's where we're at. If you look at John F. Kennedy's grave site, his tomb, and you can go on Google Earth and you just type in JFK grave site, and you look at it from a sky view. It is in the shape of a Q.
A Q, yeah.
You've seen that,
yeah,
right?
The flagstones around it.
And again, I'm the guy who says that may be too far for me to go on that one. But
well, look at it.
I will. I will definitely look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing.
Where we are with Q now is when Trump, they said, do you know who he is? And he goes, yep. And you'd be surprised. Right. So I had been thinking all along, once I really started to understand the Q thing, I go, I bet this is Steve Bannon that's doing this. And if you know Steve Bannon was part of Trump's election team.
Right.
Steve Bannon
took over for Breitbart, didn't he? Is that, that's what, Andrew Breitbart died, Steve Bannon.
Died.
Yeah.
When Andrew Breitbart died.
Because he did die all of a sudden. And for those of you who are not watching this and are listening to it, Scott's using quotation fingers. So there's a theory out there that Andrew Breitbart is still alive.
Or not died.
Or he was killed.
Was suicided.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Okay. So Steve Bannon, if you listen to him, he's one of the most fascinating people for me because he knows every world player. He knows what's going on. He talks about China and he talks about Huawei and he talks about the One Road system that they're building, which is basically if they get this One Road system built, it's a road that takes that goes from China to the Mediterranean Sea to Europe. And what they would do now is they have an easy, simple way to take over all of the trade from the world. So it would immediately make them a superpower, and it would take the United States. It's very hard to ship things here because we have to do ships.
Yeah.
We have to. So that's what China is doing. China, like, we have no idea how powerful China is on the verge of becoming. And they're on the verge of becoming that because of the deep state, because of the things that you can research what Obama was putting into place. So Steve Bannon is all things world. He's all things. He is the one that decided that Trump was going to be, it was going to be a populist movement, a nationalist movement. And so my theory for a long time was, I bet Steve Bannon is Q because he's so well connected. He knows everything. But then when that Trump video came out and he said, you'd be surprised, I was thinking about that. And I said, if it was Steve Bannon, that would not be a surprise.
Right. So you're like, well, if I can think of it, then other people can think of it. In which case it's not
It wouldn't be a surprise. Okay. It would make total sense.
So as you're trying to put all these pieces together, you come up with a suspect. And Trump says something, and that kind of puts that suspect on the back burner a little bit.
Right. Okay. So now cut to, I think it was about a week and a half ago, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is he's the nephew of JFK.
He's Robert Kennedy's son.
Thank you.
Right. There's John F. Kennedy and John F. Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy and Robert Kennedy Jr.
What Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing is he is deep into vaccines, and he's the one that's exposing vaccines that vaccine companies can't be sued. They don't need to provide any clinical trial. You know, we all think about, you know, we all hear autism would be caused by maybe not one vaccine, but the fact that they're giving lethal doses of mercury and, you know, the combination of your child getting 10, 12, 15 vaccines on the day that it's born. You know?
Right. That's Robert Kennedy's position, is that vaccines are lethal and or damaging to human beings.
Right.
Okay. And Junior, Robert Kennedy Jr.
So Trump had asked him to come on board onto the White House and speak as not an anti-vaxxer, but speak as somebody that has done the research that can show the possible negative effects of it.
Something that says we should look a little bit deeper into it.
Now, right, in April, his wife and son were out in a canoe on a calm water body of water, and they drown.
Huh. Okay.
So they drown. So now Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a vested interest, even more than he already did, on a podcast that I don't know who he was doing it with, but it was on Periscope, and so the live feed was going up while the stream was happening, and somebody types in all caps, "Touch your nose if JFK Jr. is alive."
And guess what he did?
He missed it the first time. They typed it again. He looked at it and very clearly went up, touched his nose, brought it back down, and you saw the slightest coy smile. And so, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if JFK Jr. crashing his airplane in the 90s was faked so that he could come back and finish what his father started?
So that's another – that's a second theory. Is not that JFK is alive, but that JFK Jr. is...
That JFK Jr. is alive.
Alive.
And his interest is to get revenge on the same exact people that killed his father.
Okay, now let's go back a second, because this is where we get back into conspiracy theory, grassy knoll shit, and there's a reason why I use that example.
And this is, and I can't prove that, but that's the...
Right,
that's
these
the
are just theories.
Right now, is that
these
JFK Jr. is Q, or right. At least the main force behind Q.
Right. Now, people tried to get JFK. Well, okay, so let's backtrack. JFK got into office, right, and was going to do all this cool stuff, and we all know what happened, right? Then RFK was his attorney general running for office. We all know what happened. His shooter says, you know, I was set up. I did it, but they told me to do it, kind of a thing.
He was on drugs too, it happened. He was out of his mind.
Right. So then
it could be an MK Ultra connection too, you know?
Yeah. So that's where we're going to, at the end of this, I want to remind our audience that the reason I am kind of here investigating all of this is because I have done enough research into other things that the government has done in the last 100 years that piss me off and scare the shit out of me. So I always have to remember, and I want anybody listening to this to remember, when we get to the end and we start talking about some of these programs, if they can do that, what else can they do? That's kind of my question, and that's where I'm at. But let's get back to this. So JFK dies. The theory is that he is dead, but that his son, who, again, this is weird, JFK dies, RFK dies, right? And as Dennis Leary famously said, they looked at Teddy and went, fuck it. We don't have to worry about him. He had already killed a girl in a river that he got pregnant. So they had enough on him to not worry about what
and
he was going to do.
He's still a politician, you know, like even
yeah,
after
he was still a politician
out,
even after all that. And
so
then
that tells you right. about, you know,
so
people's,
then you get to JFK Jr., who mm-hmm. was a, like, he was at one point the most eligible bachelor in this country. Like, he was good looking. He was the son of John F. Kennedy.
He's our royalty. He's our, he's
he
our
was
version
our
of,
version
of a prince.
A prince.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, hell, they called JFK's era Camelot, you know, it, like, it was this magic time for a lot of people in this country. And he starts a magazine, right? He started a magazine called George, I believe. And it was named after George Washington. It was about, you know, the it was kind of a gentleman's, like, magazine. But it was Playboy without nudes, but it had a lot of topical stuff. It had a lot of current events. It had, it was just a really good – and then that went away, and people were talking to him, trying to talk to him about running for office. And then he's headed to, I believe, a wedding at Martha's Vineyard. And supposedly he turns his plane over and doesn't realize how – he doesn't realize he's upside down.
He's flying at night, and as a
I was going to say, now you can speak to this because you're a pilot. Yeah. So maybe you can explain.
I have my private pilot's license, yeah. So flying at night, when you're flying, you're basically, you take the road away. You know, you don't have a firm footing. And when you're flying at night, you don't have the horizon. So you can't really see stars because you have the gauges that are in your face. So, you know, even though you turn the gauges, the brightness all the way down, it's very difficult. And the first time I landed at night, it scared the living shit out of me. Even as you're coming down and you see the runway lights coming up, you really still don't have a grasp on how fast the ground is coming up. Okay. So that theory of him crashing would be completely plausible because he is self-admitted. He was not a skilled pilot.
Right.
But from what I understand, and this happened in the 90s, again, they didn't find any substantial wreckage from the plane. And, you know, maybe news said that they found something, but, you know, he hit the water so hard that it made the plane vanish.
Well, I know they did bring bodies to shore.
You know?
They did bring bodies to shore. And there are people that you can Google it if you want. But there are people that have taken pictures, and they say that these are pictures of the wreckage, people of his body, this and that and the other thing. So let's say that, yes, there's a lot of evidence out there that a plane crashed in the ocean, and it was John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife, Carolyn Bessette, I think was the daughter of Jacqueline Bessette. Anyway, it was a celebrity couple. Everybody loved them. They augured in. He pulled up on the stick. Turns out he was taking a nosedive. So
yeah, he just got disoriented is the right. story.
So for that now, to be true, those bodies would have to not be his
and his
wife's. At
this point, with all of the research and everything that I'm doing, I don't trust anything. I trust no news source because they have proven to go to any length to cover something up. Now, what I want to talk about with JFK Jr. is I first saw an interview with him. We're getting into Comet Ping Pong now. I first saw an interview with him. He was on the set. It was on Jay Leno, and Jerry Seinfeld was the first guest. So he was now seated one over on the couch, and they were talking about JFK Jr. Now, Jay Leno says, says, we have a poem, I guess, that you brought to read. And JFK Jr. goes, I don't know. Did we do? I don't know. Okay, I guess we'll do this. And he brings out a poem from a 9-year-old Monica Lewinsky, who talks about herself being round, having cheese on it, and if you eat me, you're weird, but that I would be very yummy. And I saw that and went, oh my God, he's in the pedophilia ring. My stomach dropped. I don't know that much about him, but I always thought he's America's prince. And I didn't want that to be true. After
we have to get into
realizing
that
he possibly could be Q and possibly faked his own death. Why? I think that this could have happened because he was sending a message back before email, before anything, when all we had was national television. He was sending a message saying, we know about Monica Lewinsky coming up, and we know that children, it's FBI released proof that pizzas refer to young girls and hot dogs refer to young boys.
Okay, so let's get back to that. So our listeners may have heard.
I know I might be losing people.
No. Our listeners may have heard of Pizzagate, right? Pizzagate was a guy who attacked a pizza parlor saying that there was child sex trafficking going on in this pizza parlor underground, right? It's the gist of it. I may be getting my.
They had like children may have in the back rooms room, that were downstairs,
right?
And you know, but when people first, when law enforcement first went in there, they saw all these paintings that were absolutely not appropriate. The owner of Ping Pong, Comet Ping Pong, was the name of the pizza, the establishment. He is unbelievably almost Jeffrey Epstein wealthy. But the only thing that he has on his record, he's a gay guy. And the only thing that he has on his record was that he's the owner of this restaurant. Okay, well, if you're an owner of a pizza restaurant, you're not worth millions of dollars. So that was
unless that pizza restaurant is Round Table and you own all of them.
Right.
Okay, so this Pizzagate thing gets, you know, this guy gets, you know, written off as a quack. But then you go back in time to the McMartin preschool, where a bunch of kids said they were exposed to pedophilia and satanic rituals at their preschool in Orange County. Then you go even back further than that to the Finders, where this group of people had kids turned over to them in the 70s, and the cops.
And you turned me on to the Finders.
And this is not a conspiracy theory. This was really a group. This group had kids. When the kids were interviewed, and so were the adults that were with them by the cops. The kids all said, "No, these are our friends, and they're taking us to a special school in Mexico for smart kids." That's what the kids said. These men weren't their parents. Right. But their parents had signed the children over to this group, the Finders, to be cared for. It was like, you know, giving your kids to your church or to your whatever to be babysat. But they were being babysat kind of permanently while the parents did all these things. And then if you look up the founder of the Finders, there's all kinds of other goofy shit you don't even want to start to get into on this podcast. But what was interesting about that was it was turned over to the FBI. The local cops who served the search warrant said that during the search warrant, they found and booked into evidence photo albums that contained photos of these children doing exactly what they said they were doing. Satanic rituals, slaughtering goats, altars, all that kind of stuff. They said, we packaged all the evidence up. We gave it to the FBI. Now you can go and read the FBI's document dump on the Finders, but what's interesting is in that document dump, you read all this information, all that evidence that this local police department turned over to the FBI is missing. It's gone. Nobody knows where it is. They said, nope, we don't have it. Don't know what you're talking about. It's gone. If it was there, you didn't give it to us. No, we gave it to you. Well, it's not here. So sorry. So the FBI does this document dump recently, which somehow creepily enough, there's another document slid into the scan, which is a diagram of the McMartin preschool and the tunnels underneath where kids said they were being abused and exposed to satanic ritual abuse. So now you're going, wait a minute, hold on, time out. You have a child trafficking organization that is not necessarily pedophilia, but definitely at least exposing these kids to like what they're calling satanic rituals where they're slaughtering goats on altars and shit like this. And it sounds too, like, again, sounds like a movie, but yet they really did investigate this, right? And a lot of people will call it the satanic panic of the 70s and 80s where Dungeons and Dragons and Ozzy Osbourne and Kiss and all that stuff. I get that. That was, you know, its own thing. But you have children being taken from their parents. That's number one. That's bad juju. Then you had cops investigating that these kids were being taken out of the country and for what purpose, and they come across these photo albums which go missing, and then a document dump, you know, decades later by the FBI, there's a piece of paper slid in there by accident, by quote unquote accident, that details another case that the FBI investigated where children accused adults of pedophilia and satanic rituals. The McMartin preschool trial is so famous. The character Freddy Krueger is based on the incident. It was the idea that this guy worked at a preschool, abused these kids. The parents found out. He got off on a technicality, so the parents burned him alive. Well, guess what? The guy who was accused of it in the McMartin preschool, it was a hung jury, and they never retried him. So it could very easily have been the guy that the parents all kidnapped and set on fire. That's why Wes Craven said, ooh, wouldn't it be crazy if you made a movie about the parents killing this dude and then him coming back to kill the kids years and years and years later? So now you got all these things stacking up over decades.
Right.
Decades, right?
And we didn't have internet back then, so there was no way for us to research. You know,
nope.
When we were growing up, we were told.
What was on the nightly news is all we heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now you get Epstein, right? Cut to Epstein.
Well, now you hit tunnels.
Right.
Now, tunnels is a very, very, very – it's a whole nother rabbit hole. This is something that I absolutely cannot confirm, and I don't stand firm on this.
Right.
Research DUMBS, D-U-M-B-S, all capital letters. Now, NASA gets tens of millions of dollars a day still. They're not launching any rockets. They haven't launched a rocket since – I mean, the space shuttle program, like, so why are they still getting so much money? Where is it going? Where are the trillions going that goes? But that's proving my point. Why is it taking private enterprise?
SpaceX is joint. It's a joint thing because Elon Musk doesn't have the money all by himself to mount that.
He doesn't do anything by himself.
I mean,
he gets government. That's the part of the complaint about Elon Musk is he always gets government funding to do this. Okay, so
what's DUMBS?
So if you look up DUMBS, DUMBS are – there is a network of underground tunnels across the entire United States. Also goes up into Canada. Do you guys know about the Denver airport? Have you looked into that?
No.
No, not that.
Okay. So Denver had a fully functional airport when they built the new airport, and it was miles outside of Denver. In the desert, you would have never paid any attention to it. They built this new airport out there. It was very inconvenient for Denverians to use the airport.
Is that the right word, Denverians?
It is now.
I made it up, so it must be real.
Okay.
So,
I'll go with it.
If you look at it, this is so crazy, and it's one of those things again where you're going to be either mad at me or you don't want to let the information in. If you look at an aerial view of the airport, and you can type this in, Google Earth is your friend. Look at it. The runways are set up as a swastika. When you walk into the airport, there is a blue horse with red lit eyes. Definitely demonic. When you walk into the airport, there are portraits of Nazis and communists killing babe. I mean, I, my description of it. Go look at it.
I'm going to
come up with your look up with your own eyes what these paintings mean.
Yeah.
Now the theory about the DUMBS is that underneath the Denver airport, there is 7-8 stories deep of an entire city, Denver being in the center of the country. The theory is that there are DUMBS that the deep state uses these tunnels. That's how they're getting all the children. 800,000 children go missing in this country alone. How are they transporting all these kids around? There's not enough white windowless vans to do it. But when Elon Musk is talking about having the technology, and he's building a hole in LA right now and building underground, he calls it the hole, but underground trains where it's a vacuum tube. And so now you would drive your car, it goes on a sled, the tube closes, and now you don't have any air friction. So depending on where you're going, they can send you faster than the speed of sound. And you don't know it because it's a vacuum tube. Okay, well, that technology had to come from somewhere.
It came from the bank when I was a kid.
Yep. And now we get to ride in them. Hell yeah.
And now we get to ride in them. So I don't know if you remember about a year ago, all these little earthquakes that were happening in places where there typically weren't earthquakes. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah.
All this
yeah. Thing? I saw the trailer for Ghostbusters 3.
So all of a sudden, all these little earthquakes start happening. Now, the theory is that these dumbs are military bases for the deep state. They're all connected. You can transfer anything around the entire United States. I'm talking cities. And if you don't believe this, there are mines that you can go and visit. And when you go in the mines, it is a city. It has its own.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just look up a salt mine. Look up the inside of a salt mine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, okay.
Shopping centers.
So I'm going to interrupt you and throw a wrench into your monkey works. Okay.
Okay.
You and I both, Matt,
mm-hmm.
we have always had a fascination, and Scott have always had a fascination with aviation. I almost joined the Navy just because of the movie Top Gun. Right. I mean, I was like, I want to go. Yeah.
I think I actually went to flight school because of Top Gun.
Right. And I have always had a fascination with planes. I've always had a like Project Aurora, all these different things, you know, top secret planes, blah, 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 blah. I remember when I was a kid, the F-117 project, Operation Desert Storm, right? First it was Operation Desert Shield. It was going to be all tanks. And then we went, ha ha, fooled you. And we flew a bunch of fucking planes in and bombed the shit out of them. And it was called Operation Desert Storm. And the plane that we debuted, it made its beautiful black, I shouldn't be able to fly.
Right.
Bumblebee debut.
Yes.
Was the F-117 Nighthawk. It's, everybody knows it's just a little black triangle that doesn't look like it should fly, and by all accounts, if you don't have fly-by-wire computer-guided technology, it wouldn't, right? It can't fly on its own under human power. The human puts the input, the computer makes micro-corrections based on airspeed and altitude and indicators and all that shit, and that's how the plane stays airborne.
It was first stealth. It was the first stealth.
Yeah, the stealth bomber and the stealth fighter.
It was all the different angles so that when the radar would hit it, the angle would bounce off, which made it unflyable.
And I went and watched a documentary about it. And the fact that that plane began development in the 60s startled me, right? The 60s. So this plane, they started, they did some tests, blah, blah, blah. They developed it. They've been working on it. Well, guess what? Where does all that stuff go, right? It gets developed in Burbank, California,
mm-hmm.
or
out at Skunk Works.
Out at Skunk Works in the Antelope Valley next to Edwards Air Force Base.
Well, Skunk Works started in Burbank. It's a part of Lockheed.
Right, right. So Burbank starts. Then they say, we don't have enough room. We're going to move out to Edwards, right? And build facilities out there. Lockheed. And if you don't believe me, I will literally post a picture because I've driven by it so many times. I'll just take a picture next time I drive by it. It's a giant Lockheed building with the most cutest, Disneyest skunk painted 30 feet tall on the side of the building.
I have a patch.
Yeah. And that was where the stealth fighter was developed, under complete and total secrecy. But where was the stealth fighter tested? Nellis Air Force Base, Area 51, Groom Lake. It was out in Nevada. So now here's the question, and this documentary posited this. How do you get the F-117 from L.A. or just outside of L.A. to Nellis Air Force Base, Groom Lake, Area 51 without taking off and landing, right? You have to transport it. So how do you transport it? Well, the documentary talks about how there's always been a rumor that there's a highway that goes from Edwards Air Force Base to Area 51 underground.
So it's not,
as you're telling me about these dumbs tunnels that may be underground, I'm going, wait a minute. I've heard that theory before, but it had nothing to do with child sex trafficking. It just had to do with getting the F-117 from point A to point B so they could test it.
So it's not unplausible because there is money that you know, we don't know where the money goes, right? Donald Rumsfeld said there's $2 trillion missing. We don't know where it is. Next day, boom, 9/11 happens, right? So there's money out there that we have no idea. We don't know how much we pay in taxes. We don't know where it goes, but it would make sense that there is so much money that that digging these tunnels is not a foreign concept. Like, I think it could happen. We have the Tesla Gigafactory out here in Reno, but right next to it, it's in the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, or it's called Trick Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. When you think industrial center, you think a little U shape where there's all, like, you know, t-shirt businesses and all that. It is so large that it would fit Reno, Carson City, all of that would fit inside the center.
Okay? Yeah,
so
I've seen this building.
Yeah,
it's not even completed, number one. The pad's been cut for it, but the building itself hasn't even been completed. And when it's completed, if you take the building and you stand it up on one end, it becomes the tallest structure in the world, taller than that tower in
Dubai.
It's unbelievable, and they're working. I have friends that work there. So Panasonic is there, and they're making the batteries.
Right.
They make all their batteries out of the Gigafactory. Yeah. But they were talking about doing the cars there and talking about a whole bunch while Elon Musk is tired of Nevada's governor,
whole idea
so they're moving to Texas.
Right, so this whole idea of building these tunnels isn't unheard of. It can be done. These massive earth-moving projects can be done.
What really made me get an understanding of it is next to Elon Musk, because everybody wanted to be next to the cool kid – there's a company called Switch, and Switch is a computer data center they're the ones that back up and store all of the FBI and all of the CIA files. They are 100% trusted, and Switch was based out of Vegas. But since the new industrial center, and they wanted to be closer to Elon Musk, they built an entire warehouse up here in Reno, and they trenched a fiber optic cable all the way from Las Vegas to Reno. And apparently the fiber optic cable is the largest fiber optic cable you can have. But when I hear that, because you go, what do you mean they trench? They trench.
Dug a tunnel.
Right. They just like plumbing your front yard, only bigger.
Right. And you know, like a huge argument that you get from people is, you know, well, who's building these tunnels, and wouldn't, you know, why haven't they come public? It's the same argument with NASA and the moon landing. There were 200,000 people that built those parts. Why haven't... You know, why wouldn't one person come out if it was a conspiracy theory? You know, the answer to that is do you know what the general, if you were in the Navy, Matt,
yep.
Do you know what the head of the Navy, do you know what he was doing?
No clue.
So you can be a part of these projects and not have any idea what you're doing. And that concept is something that's finally starting to turn around, where, you know, you would be in a submarine, let's say, and do you know where you're going? No, but you're making the submarine work.
Right, right.
So research dumbs, and the theory is that Trump and the Patriots are putting small nuclear bombs and blowing the shit out of these. They were going to try to flood them with ocean water, but I think like the ocean level would drop down 2 inches or something if they tried
well,
to
hey,
flood
with
these
people
tunnels.
Saying global warming is going to flood, you know, land, maybe we should ditch the 2 inches or something. Anyway, so you've got a theory about these tunnels. Now, mm-hmm. I want to close because there's one other thing that's been getting a lot of traction lately. So you've got Hollywood, and people are calling it pedo-wood, right?
Yep.
And then you've got this whole Wayfair thing, right? So that mm-hmm. goes back to the child sex trafficking and the idea of how do you pay for kids? Well, you have a site that seems... You know, this is the theory that Wayfair is a site that posts up listings for limited items, and their prices are so overinflated because you're not actually paying for that item; you're paying for
$15,000 throw pillows.
Right, right.
You know, and I've been on Wayfair before, and even on eBay and on Amazon, and I've come across random things where it's like, what? And I chalked it up as, oh, it's a typo.
Right.
And this is like, you know, a year ago.
Right.
You find something that's this ridiculous amount of money, thousands of dollars for this universal remote control. I'm like, what the hell?
And so somebody asked me how that would work, right? How does Wayfair blah blah blah? Well, let me tell you something. Let's just take eBay for example, because I have done this through eBay. You find a guy, he's on eBay, he's got something you want. In fact, he's got five of them, right? And you send him a message. You say, dude, I'll buy all five, but you got to cut me a discount and let me pay for expedited shipping because I need them in 2 days, right? And the guy doesn't want to sell them onesie-twosie. He can sell all five right now, and all he has to do is give you $5 off of each and then give you expedited shipping, which you'll pay for. So he goes, cool. What I'll do is I will create an auction listing, and I will send the link to you. And then you click on the auction link and pay for it. And then you and I can, through email, figure out how the shipping arrangements will be taken care of, you know. It's the same theory. It's the same concept. So if you're looking at this going, how could that possibly happen? There's no way. Yeah, it actually is really easy to do if you really wanted to look into how you could use that as a, I guess, a front, a money laundering operation to be able to send large transactions of cash if you are paying for children. Now, the big deal is with Hollywood, you go back to Epstein, all these people in Hollywood that have ridden on his plane, right? And now all of a sudden, a lot of these people are quitting, having their shows canceled, going to other countries and getting citizenship. Right.
But still collectively crickets.
Right.
From people. I mean, if my name popped up on his flight log to that island, I'll excuse once. Let's just say I met Epstein. Hey, hop on my plane. I'm going to take my private island. I get there and see what's going on. I'm like, fuck this. And I never go back.
And when people find out what he is, yeah, what do you do?
Exactly. You distance yourself.
And you come out publicly. And you
come
you
out
go,
and say, I have nothing to do with this guy. This is not me. Not a single person that's listed on those flight logs has come out and said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I didn't partake. Yeah. I didn't
right.
do
I
this.
I went there and I said, I'm out. Like, Trump calls it an absolute cesspool.
Yeah.
Now, here's another one.
Well, time out. This was, so we're back on Epstein. Who is Epstein? How did he learn how to get all of these techniques? How did he learn how to blackmail the entire world, the ruling elite? How did he do it?
Okay. So I'm going to stop you right there. That is an entire
That's a part three
episode.
It is. It really is.
Let's put a pin in this.
Okay.
Because I think we're about out of time for part two as well.
We can do that. Honestly, we could do like.
We could do an actual. We could just launch episodes. A new podcast.
Totally.
And just talk. Because you've seen, like, we are rabbit trailing on so many different
and
subjects.
And we're not even started.
And we haven't even gotten close. That's why I said it's not. It's not one this QAnon thing is not one conspiracy theory. If anything,
it's not one dish.
It's a movement.
It's a fucking buffet.
No, it's a movement.
Like yeah.
That's what I would start to call it. It's a movement. And if Q really does exist, great. If Q doesn't, then at least what the person who poses as Q has done has started, and they call it the Great Awakening, right?
Right.
Right. And I hate the term woke, but they call it the Great Awakening. He has opened people's eyes, or whoever this person is, whatever this is, however this is happening, people are starting to question things. And they're starting to wonder, hey, why did all these politicians and really rich business people and Hollywood elites ride on the airplane of a pedophile? Why did the president of the United States ditch the Secret Service to get on the plane without them? Why, you know, why is the prince of the UK, you know, not the crown prince, but it's Andrew.
Prince
He's
Andrew.
The one who's being accused of
and is not cooperating.
Going to right. Epstein's Island and having sex with an underage girl. And he says, I never met her. And then you show him a picture of her standing there with her. And he's like,
With that's, who else is in the picture?
Well, Maxwell.
Yeah.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Right. So.
Well, let me also throw this to you guys. You hear the phrase, the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening is only flowing one direction. You notice that? Which direction is the Great Awakening flowing?
Down the toilet.
It's coming from the left. People that are waking up. From the left,
right,
seeing all of the most evil things that is happening over there, the Great Awakening is like dragging them over in one direction. You don't hear about someone that's awake going back to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a personal friend of mine.
I was going to tell you, we just talked about this before we started. I was going to ask you to tell it. So go ahead.
I think it's the same thing. A personal friend of mine that I saw on social media start posting stuff, like just like hitting it so hard, coming out with all this stuff, and I was like, she's awake, and I, you know, and messaged her. I'm like, oh my god, like, I didn't know. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I can't keep quiet anymore. I've seen, and that's the thing.
It's what exciting, and you want to share it. What happened with
your girlfriend? What did your girlfriend say?
Oh, my fiance.
I'm sorry.
I apologize to Matt's fiance.
we call that the F word.
I did not mean to demote you.
Yeah. But she.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Yeah, she told me, she said, you know, I can't say I'm a Democrat right now.
That's a common thing.
You know, she was going to register, right?
She was going to register as a Democrat. She goes, I can't. Like, just looking at everything that's going on, I can't align myself with that.
And there is a part of me that says, when you look at what's happening on the other side, and you look at the riots, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the protests.
You look at the defunding of the police.
You look at all that stuff. What is that all trying to do? It's trying to dismantle the American way and the American society and the American culture and everything we hold dear.
It's globalism, new world order.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would argue that if all of this is real that we've been discussing, and again,
or even part of it,
even if, like
I said,
JFK Jr. doesn't have to be alive for Q to be real,
right?
JFK Jr. could be dead. RFK Jr. You know, kids could have been my wife and daughter could have been an accident. All those things could be like totally explainable, and yet what Q is saying is still true, right? So just because there's a bunch of these theories about is it Flynn, is it JFK Jr., is it JFK, all these different things, they can all be false, and it could everything else could still be true. Yeah, there could still be child we know there's child trafficking. Yeah. We know that, right? Yes. So the whole point of this, and this the reason I think, and we all discussed, like Marco, unfortunately, who's been on the first two episodes, couldn't be here with us.
Yeah, today. I wanted to hang out with him.
Yeah, man. Well, we'll do another one. Okay. But we couldn't have him here. But, you know, we all talked about how this should be presented. And I know Scott has been telling me this stuff for years and years and years. Well, not years and years and years, but for the last year and a half, 2 years. And me being doubting Thomas, you know, me being the video or it didn't happen guy that I am, you know, yeah, I do have to see things for myself and go, time out. This shit doesn't add up. And these two episodes, the first part one and part two, have not been to tell you that Q is real and that the storm is coming and the Great Awakening is happening and all this stuff is true. No, this has just been, this is what people are saying, and this is what some of the interpretations of the chaos, nonsense, depravity, and disgusting behavior by pedophiles, by Hollywood in many cases. Now you've got TED Talks where people are trying to say that pedophilia is just a disorder.
It is in Greece,
and to me, this is a spiritual awakening.
Didn't somebody go to Greece?
Yeah, someone moved to Greece.
I can't remember who it was.
Pedophilia
I can't remember who it was.
Mental disorder.
I don't know who it was.
It's not
This is biblical. This is a spiritual awakening. I have started the walk towards God, towards Jesus Christ. I personally have seen agnosticism of all things leads to nothing but evil. I've lived it. I saw it. Something in me about 2 years ago added up and I went, okay, this isn't making sense. And you're seeing it happen, like just like Kanye comes out with his gospel album. You know, that's an example of this great awakening. So the Great Awakening is not just let's show you what is happening in the deep state. What's showing you what's happening on this whole other side of the world. That's half of the Great Awakening. The other half is this is biblical. We all are finding our own way in one way or another, or no matter how fast or slow. My generation is realizing that agnosticism of all things,
our.
You've always had religion in your life. I have not.
No.
But
I know. I was
right. Okay. For the most part.
No. I just meant you're supposed to say, sorry, our goose.
Thank you. Two O's and Goose. But that's part of the Great Awakening, is it's also a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And it's happening. And when part of this deception is that the government and your schooling and Hollywood have all removed God from our lives, but man still has an intrinsic need to be led. So if what is good, if what is the example of good has been taken from us without us realizing that it's been taken from us, we still have a need to be told to be led. Well, who's doing that now? You got the government and you got Hollywood.
Yep. And that's what this is about. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's
part two.
Part two.
We're going to do part three.
I guess we kind of have to do a part three.
Well, let's see. I mean, let's see if this is piquing the interest of people that are watching. And if it is, then yeah, I think.
Yeah, send us a message.
I should continue, because I'm telling you right now, we haven't even scratched the surface of the things that, you know, could possibly be going on. But we haven't even. Yeah. We basically have given you the Netflix version, which is Netflix, we know, comes from the side of the deep state. So yeah. we've given you nothing.
And let's face it, we could honestly, like, it, this could all just be what's happening on the conservative side and what's happening on the progressive communist side. You know, all of us centrists are going, enough. Mm-hmm. And it's time to just take, you know, pull this car over and spank all of them.
Right.
It could be just as simple as that. That's all that could be happening right now. And all this other stuff is bullshit. It's just everybody with common sense and good values is going, enough.
Yeah.
Or there could be prison ships off the coast of the United States.
When all of this started, I was telling friends and family that as I'm taking this walk and discovering things that are bigger than myself, I feel that this is God going, time out. Mm-hmm. You guys have now gotten into normalizing pedophilia. You are normalizing 3- and 4-year-olds being put on hormone blockers because they decide that their
parents
and their parents are doing it. And these things were getting way out of control. And in a further episode, I can talk about why I think that's happened, but I really do. I think that this is God saying, okay, time out. We're going to readjust everything. So, you know, call that what you will, but that's
He did say he would never flood the earth again, but he didn't say he wouldn't send coronavirus.
And think coronavirus, you shut down international travel. You shut down any ways to escape the country. And you have the perfect storm of the judicial system being able to keep everybody in the same location. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a lot of change once this podcast reach people, as people start to wake up, once they start to see this, that's when all of this will be revealed, because you can't do it before the people see it, or it's tyranny.
And here's the deal with the whole waking up. That's on you listening to this right now. This is on you to use your critical thinking. Don't take our fucking words for it. Look up everything we just talked about.
Yeah.
Look at it yourself.
Found us.
Yeah.
This podcast, so you're on the right path, in my opinion.
And there hasn't been a single thing that's part of this. If it's opinion or theory, we've told you. It's someone's opinion or it's somebody's theory. It's not proven. It's this, it's that. It is incumbent upon all of you to go look at this for yourself. I'll tell you two things.
Believe in yourself.
You are smart enough to figure this out.
You've got to have the courage to do it. You've got to have the courage to be able to look within yourself and say, I might be wrong. I might have been fooled my entire life. That takes unbelievable courage.
Yeah. So you take this information. You go forward with it. You do what you want. You do what you gotta. Let us know if this is if you want us to do the full on like deep dive into that piece of shit Epstein. But that's why the Locker Room Podcast is here. We're discussing
the shit,
things that are on our minds that don't necessarily have to do with our regular awesome, you know, task of bringing you the stories of everyday heroes who are out there on the front lines protecting your ass at home and abroad. This is just, these are the things that interest us. These are the things we think about. These are literally the things we discuss around the barbecue and beers.
Yeah. Yep.
And
only in certain, only with certain company, because if there's one person there that doesn't want to hear it, you can't talk about it.
Actually, I kind of have enjoyed when the one person there that doesn't want to talk about it is stuck and everybody else is cool with it and you just watch them fucking squirm. It's because when we have all these discussions, nobody says Q is real. The Great Awakening is happening. The storm is coming and there's prison ships off the coast of the United States about to lock up pedophiles. Everybody
and
says
Guantanamo Bay has tripled in size in the last few months.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Everybody's saying, everybody in our circle says, let's talk about everything we're seeing happening. Let's really put a discerning eye. Discernment is a gift. Not everybody has it.
Right.
And
we haven't even gotten into COVID. We haven't gotten into anything.
Yeah, for sure. So, thank you for taking that fucked up, weird rabbit trail journey with us. Spiraling up. And we didn't know how, like, we talked about this again. We talked about it for days and days and days to figure out how to do it. And we said, okay, this is the, we're going to come into this is what we know about it. Scott, correct us if we're wrong or explain because you've done the deep dive. And other than that, we're just going to talk about it and see where it takes us. And it took us all kind of places. So do your research.
It's never ending and it's unbelievably bigger than you could ever imagine.
Right.
And so if you're not a Trump supporter, if you don't like
the
guy,
you don't have to be.
That's fine. But when you see everything that he is taking on and what the Q army is, the digital soldiers, because it's coming from so many directions that when you start to wake up, when you start to see it, you go, oh, I have to now support this because I see righteousness. I see that this is good versus evil, you know? But right before we go, if we can, I would like to give just a couple of the things that I listen to. Just a couple names. Is that okay? That way, if people...
Yeah, who to start, like where to start looking?
Yes. So the first thing that I listen to every single day, when I wake up in the morning, I feel horrible. My anxiety is gone. Like, what the fuck is going on? There's one podcast.
He opens his eyes and he goes,
stream.
Oh my God, I'm still here.
Yeah. As soon as I listen to it, I go, ah, okay, now we're back in business. And that channel is X22.
Oh yeah.
The letter X, the number 22. He does two episodes a day. The first one is talking about the financial global system, the things that are happening, such as Trump nationalizing the Federal Reserve, which nobody knows that that's happening. He's already done it. All this money, these checks are coming from the Rothschilds and Steve Mnuchin is the United States Treasurer. He's writing all these checks. They've got the Rothschilds handcuffed and sitting in the lobby going, hey, fuckers, thanks for all this money. So he goes over everything. We're being brought back to the gold standard. That's episode one. Episode two, he does A and B. B is the political landscape. And he is one of the people that dissects Q. He is a QAnon. And he does it the most intelligently.
So is it a podcast or what?
It's I watch him on YouTube, but I believe he has X22.com as well. But the way he presents it isn't just complaining about it, which I don't like watching channels that all they do is bitch. He's inspiring. And so when I watch him, I always come away with a feeling like, okay, Q says trust the plan, and that's getting frustrating because it's taking so long. But when you listen to him, you understand why it's taking so long. The next guy to listen to is on YouTube. He's at Bishop L. Gaitors, and that's G-A-I-T-E-R-S. He will take you down the quote-unquote conspiracy theory trail from the beginning of time. He is one of the most brilliant people that I have ever heard. I continue to listen to him. He will take you right to Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
He'll take you there. He'll prove it to you. He'll show you what's happening, okay?
That's so far up the rabbit hole that you can't see the bottom.
The next guy to listen to, and he's being obliterated by all sides, is Owen Benjamin. Listen to him, because he helped me with my great awakening, and watching his journey of what he's gone through and where he is now and his message now. Watch him. Eddie Bravo is a jiu-jitsu instructor. He owns 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and he's just fun. He's just a fun conspiracy theorist guy that you can't help but smile while you watch him. Sean Atwood, S-H-A-U-N, Atwood, is all tied up in the Epstein conspiracy theory, but he's from England. So he's doing it from England's point of view, most importantly, Prince Andrew.
Okay.
So those are just a few of the guys that I wanted to bring up.
Hold on. You're missing someone.
And the most inspirational. Who am I missing?
Jesse Lee Peterson.
Amazing. Yes. Jesse Lee Peterson is rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
Because honestly,
he's helped me tremendously.
Yeah. That's really what I think needs to come out of this, is rebuilding the family.
It starts with the father. We've been programmed and to think that men, especially in this society, toxic masculinity, men are shit, men are evil. Ooh. But the fact of the matter is that we are toxic because we are no longer men. And people like Jesse Lee Peterson are trying to save men.
I'm so excited because I just got an idea for our next locker room podcast. Okay. So I just read an article, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'll send it to you if you didn't. It's, why are white women so angry?
I don't know.
And the answer is, according to the article, they have turned their back on men.
Let's wait.
Save it for an episode, because don't give away the goodies. Make them buy the cow.
Yeah.
Modern feminism is not modern, and it's not feminine.
Yeah. Well. Anyway.
And we'll go there.
Well, Scott, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Matt, how can people find us?
You can find us on Instagram.
We have an email.
I forgot last time to give the email. It is what is it?
So you can find us on Facebook, because we have our own Locker Room Podcast Facebook page. It actually is our old podcast page that's been reconverted because the old podcast is gone.
Yeah.
Someday, you know what? Maybe I should make all of those old podcast episodes available for subscribers through the website. So if they subscribe to the website, they could just go on there and download two hours of us being insane.
Mostly drunk.
Yeah. Well, the first couple episodes, but after that we got better.
Yeah. We realized that we shouldn't be drinking that much. I believe it's mailbag. I have no service right now. Mailbag dot. No, just mailbag.
Locker room.
No.
Fuck. God damn it. Jesus. All right.
We'll put it in the description below. It'll be there.
I do want to say that there are people out there that are aware of this, and when they watch this, they're going to feel as excited as we all feel. Please send us information. Yeah. Send us an email. Shit, you know. Let us know what you think we got wrong, what we got right. But start. This should start a conversation.
Yes.
So you can find us on Facebook. You can DM us there. You can find us on Instagram. You can DM us there. Slide into them DMs. Send us a message. Send us a question. We covered the question. I put out that people should ask us questions that they want us to ask you. And we only got one, I guess, because maybe people didn't even know what to ask, or maybe people don't give a shit. But the question was, is JFK alive? And I said, oh, trust me, we're going to talk about JFK. And we did. So your question, Mr. JFK, has been answered. And if you want to get a hold of us those ways, you can also go to our main website, warstoriesofficial.com, and sign up through there. We're starting our own, like I said, starting our own social media platform. So it's a place where people can go. It's like a message board forum where you can get in, speak your real mind, speak your real opinion. We have pictures that go along with some of the podcasts we do, follow-up stuff. You can have conversations with us there. So just hit us up there. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on the gram. And, of course, you can email us at the email address posted below Matt's dumb face because he couldn't remember it.
I'm still trying to find it.
And if this disappears, there is blatant censorship happening. Yeah. Or anyone that is talking about the topics that we brought up today.
Well, we have to be very careful what we write on the description or any hashtags because it will just get yanked.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say. So, God damn it. Before we close, one of the biggest things that happened to validate that Q was, in fact, a real threat to me was the fact that Twitter fucking banned
any Q talk.
Any account that has anything to do with Q whatsoever. If you ban it, it means you're scared of it.
Yep.
Oh, did you just find it?
There's also another saying, if you're taking a lot of flack, that means you're over the target.
Ooh.
So there's that.
You know what my okay, I'm going to resurrect the old podcast for 2 seconds.
Yes.
We had a segment called Words from Grandpa.
Words from Grandpa.
Right? Uh-huh. My grandfather used to say,
Let's hear it.
If you're speaking the truth.
No.
That's not how he talked. I'm going to call bullshit. Can we summons
your grandfather
from the great beyond?
I don't know if I can still do the voice.
I think you can.
All right. Words from Grandpa.
You got this,
My grandfather used to say, son, if you're telling the truth, you better have one foot in the stirrups.
That's a good one.
So... just saying.
Yeah. And hey, I found that email address. Again, it's a lockerroommailbag@gmail.com.
To be fair, you had a brain tumor at one point, so.
I did.
You just talked right over it. Say it again, man, right?
God, motherfucker.
Lockerroommailbag@gmail.com.
All right. And until our next episode on YouTube or our next podcast, we'll see you in the locker room.
Where we go one, we go all.
Attaboy.
Yeah.